This call is being recorded.
Sorry, I was on mute there, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, good.
Guys and gals. Okay, that's better. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Can you hear any strange noises in the background, or is it pretty much clear?
Sounds good.
Awesome. I was going to say, I've got printing right next to me, so I just wasn't sure.
No.
But yeah, if you can't hear it, then that's fine. Otherwise, I got to move.
I'm going to be eating while we're having our meeting here, guys. I hope you guys don't find that rude.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with having food while we're having our meetup. Hey, Sean and John. Took me a second. How are you guys doing?
Good.
John?
Hi, how are you?
So I guess right there is one benefit of doing this type of meetup, then you guys don't have to drive all the way from Cedar Rapids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easier today.
Tim, can you grab me a knife and a fork? Yeah, I've never used this Uber conference platform before.
Yeah, I've never used it either. I've used Zoom a couple times these last couple weeks because our family set up a weekly, I guess, family conference call every Sunday at 3 p.m. So our family, even like my brother out in Vegas and everybody and my grandpa who's isolated, everybody can just kind of get together, visit real quick about what's new in everybody's world. But it's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we had our homeowner association board meeting, and yeah, we used Zoom for that. And that was the first time I used it, and it was pretty slick.
Okay. And I also heard that virtual happy hours are becoming a thing. So it's one more of these benefits of having this, which I never would have thought of before, but then all of a sudden, yeah, we had a virtual happy hour last weekend. And I'm like, what? Like, how, why? And then I realized, like, well, yeah, if you wanted to not spend a bunch of money at the bars, get your buddies together from all over the world, then you can just kind of like, hey, let's do whatever. Have a cheap drink and visit.
Work has been doing it on Thursday. So we actually had our hours at from 4:30 to 5:30. So I've already had my happy hour.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it works out good.
Yeah. So I know something that's caught on with a lot of these platforms. I don't know if this one has it, where you like click a button and it blurs your entire background. I don't know if this has that feature or not, but otherwise you can look at my shelves. But I just know a lot of them are starting to add that feature somehow.
Yeah, we're always playing around with our Zoom backgrounds. You can be on beach or and person on my team this morning did the background for when they do their little look at the camera on the show The Office.
Okay.
Has like the little window with the shades drawn behind them.
That's cool. Yeah, I should be putting Mexico in the background. I'm supposed to be in Mexico right now, but unfortunately, because of this whole Corona thing, we are not there. But at least I'm not trapped in Mexico.
I'm still feeling a little paranoid about eating in front of you guys, but I'm going to at least mute it so you don't hear me chomping.
Well, we appreciate that part of it. But yeah, don't feel shy about the eating part. I'll be curious to find out who is the farthest person on this meetup. I see we got Cedar Rapids for sure. We got a Chicago, but I don't know if you're really in Chicago. I'm not in West Des Moines. I'm in Ankeny. I don't know why mine says West Des Moines. It's probably with CenturyLink or something like that. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I recognize that background from famous YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's actually my new conference room, so it works out well. Hope you guys don't mind. Okay. I'm eating while we jump in here. I got here. I'll show you. We got Baby and Justin here too. Say hi, Baby.
Hey.
Hey, Baby.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel alone because I'm eating as well, Mitch.
Perfect. There we go. I got God's Food, so Chick-fil-A. Seems to be the official sponsor of all videos moving forward.
Hey, 20% more points this month.
Right, yeah. Yeah, 35. Does everyone hopefully has speak permissions or can toggle it on or off, hopefully?
So far, and can I like shut other people off, it looks like?
Yeah, wow, I think it's wide open permissions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We tried to keep it as friendly as possible.
Okay. Well, if the 3D printer that's like a foot from me causes any noise or issues, let me know, and then I can mute myself or find a different room or something. But
don't hear nothing, buddy.
Or we can all just watch. I mean.
Oh yeah, that one. I've never seen it.
The googly-eyed one.
How's the mask printing going, bud?
Unbelievable. I did a Des Moines Register. I did a conference call like 3 days ago. Like, nice. Hey, we need pictures too. So I'm like, oh, okay. So then yesterday, they're like, so we're going to ask you a question. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what question? Just go for it. So yeah, I did a video of that. So I think they said the article is going to come out today or tomorrow. But awesome. Unbelievable. I mean, the amount of people that have reached out from the nursing homes, EMS, hospitals. I mean, we're well over 1,000 requests. We're getting hundreds every day. And I've got different companies trying to ramp things up, help out with the supply chain. I got a company in Indiana who's injection molding a bunch of face masks anyway. So I asked them very nicely a few times, would you please ship us a bunch? They said yes. Got my company, well, actually I'm not supposed to say it, but the company I work for finally agreed. They got legal to eventually sign off and say, yes, you can make the parts in the company and all that stuff. And then there's a, I know that since it's a popular design of that face shield, I said, we need to stick with this design. There's several people in the United States that are making this one. And I know there's some companies out there that are die cutting the sheets, the front face mask shields. And I said, if we stick with that, then we just have to find all these die cutting companies. Well, we found one today. They're like, hey, we've got 42,000 sheets ready to go. Just tell us who wants them and pay for shipping. So we're like, we'll take 2,000 or 3,000 today. I'm like, oh, okay, in the mail. So yeah, we've gotten thousands of requests and stuff. So it's growing fast, and it's amazing and kind of saddening hearing the stories, because everybody's going to put their little twist to it, like, why me? And then you're just like, wow, that really sucks. Your nursing home has zero face shields, or you guys are wearing your N95 masks for multiple days and you don't have any face shields, or you have like three and you guys are trying to like wipe them down and use them. So
yeah, that's crazy. Good for you guys for doing that. That's awesome.
Keep me extremely busy too.
So hopefully Ryan has an idea of how to run this meeting. I haven't been here for a little while. And I'm just kind of showing up again today. So
I just figured we kind of wing it, unless Amanda gets on. Usually Amanda's the one that kind of does the good intro and stuff.
Amanda, are you here by chance?
I'm guessing Amanda's not here. I see Darston. A lot of people.
Fair enough.
I guess not.
So anyone that called in, I don't know if you guys can mute and unmute yourselves. So as far as talking, I don't know how that works. But if nothing else, guys, drop something in the chat. We'll keep watching that throughout. I'm not really sure how that works. So just a thought.
I guess I just found the chat feature. Okay.
We should all be able to mute and unmute.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll have to mute once in a while. We've got some loud dogs here.
You guys want to do quick introductions? Just kind of go around, tell us who you are, what level of fire you're at or wanting to be at, and kind of what your mental capacity is right now, given the what's going on. I'd say go around the table in a clockwise, but I don't really know how that works. So
how do we know? Are we all in the same? Am I in the top left corner? Is it? How does this even work? Or how do we?
I think you're always, if you're the person looking, you're always in the top left. So for me, you're okay. In the top right.
And you're in the top right for me. And then it's Sean and John, and then Mike. There's- And then
it totally depends on how it's all set up. So I would recommend Ryan just calling on people and going through it that way. I think that's the best way to do it. Otherwise, you're going to have to talk it over each other.
Okay. Well, I'm Ryan. I'm from Ankeny. I'm several years into fire. I guess that's probably not the right answer either. But I've got a few years until I should hit my fine number. As far as this whole situation, I'm actually probably somewhat excited. I know that's probably the wrong answer for a lot of people, but I think that the idea that this is shaping all sorts of different business models, different mindsets, different habits, just the fact that people might actually like enjoy this type of getting together, and there's just so much opportunity out of it. And I know even like at the last meetup, we were talking about the down market and what everybody thinks and all that stuff. I've got a chart at my at work that just shows all of the months of good months and the down months in the stock market, just showing how small those down markets are compared to the up markets. And I'm just thinking, you know, anywhere I can find money to pour into it, I'm just pouring as much as I possibly can. And I'm not the slightest bit concerned. And I guess I also figure I'm pretty I can adapt well. So whatever the situation comes up, I'll just figure it out. Chris.
Thanks, Ryan. That last meeting we had, which would have been our last public one before this all came down. Yeah, everybody in the room was pretty market turned going down even at that time. I will admit that I got, I usually think I'm pretty level-headed about the market, but I got a little down about it when I started kind of digging into the projections and this and that and what that meant, not only for the market, just, I mean, as far as, you know, is this unprecedented enough that we can't count on past, you know, history to let us know how long this will take to get us out of this. And unlike you, Ryan, yeah, I'm in my low 50s, so I'm close to when I want to retire already. And so, yeah, this was, I was kind of seeing this as, okay, this is the last downturn I'm going to have to deal with, which will actually be good because I can do, this will be my last chance to buy in really strong. And I think I just probably read too many naysayers and just doomsdayers. I'm like, okay, yeah, here's people talking about this might be a 7-year bear market. This might be a 12-year bear market because we're in unprecedented times. So I really, I'll have to admit, I really started freaking myself out. I think I've kind of recovered from that. You know, had to sleep on it, think about, you know, I think, yeah, we will get out of this eventually, even though it's going to be painful. And to your point, Ryan, yeah, we at work, both my wife and I work for a principal, and we have an employee stock purchase plan that buys quarterly. I mean, we dumped our whole paychecks in, which would have gone in March 31st. So we got that PFG stock at a really low price. And so we're counting on the fact that, yeah, that's going to come back and it's going to be really beneficial. You know, when we eventually need to tap into that. So, so I haven't been as optimistic as I normally am in down markets as far as, you know, I'm Warren Buffett. I'm, you know, everyone else is selling, I'm buying, but I think I'm kind of come around and, realize that, yeah, eventually this will turn around. It's just a really weird time. So it's hard to gauge this against anything else. So,
yeah, I think they say, you know, this time is always different, but it's never different. And the whole fear sells, they're trying to give it a new twist, like, well, but this is different because this involves a, well, you know, people talk about the pandemic of 58 or whatever. And it's like, people don't even know what the pandemic of 58 even is about. But anyway, cool. Thank you, Sean and John and a cat. Who's the cat? You got to mute first. There you
go. Sean and John and Tigger. Okay. Yeah, so we've been working on the FI thing for a number of years. I don't think we're quite there money-wise yet, but we're working on transitioning into being full-time in our tax lien business. We've been doing some cool things with applying for some of the forgivable grants through the Small Business Administration. The rules are kind of super gray about how many times you can apply. And so since we have 8 companies, we applied 8 times. We're hoping,
why not?
We're hoping they'll really send us the $80,000.
That's cool.
So that's what we've been up to.
Okay. Mike? Mike in North Liberty.
North Liberty, if you don't know, that's Iowa City, Cedar Rapids area. My wife's a teacher. She was supposed to go chaperone a trip to Spain during spring break. That got canceled about 2 days before they were set to leave, which I guess is a really good thing, turns out. But she just kind of, they're putting together lesson plans and calling their homeroom kids, but the students aren't really required to do anything, but they're still getting paid and they don't have to make up the time missed as far as going into summer or anything like that. And I have a job that I can work remotely, so we're just continuing as normal. So, I mean, other than not being able to leave the house and trying not to have a panic attack when you go to the grocery store about touching your face and being bored, I guess. But yeah, then we have 2 boys. The twin boys turned 2 in December, so they're just a little over 2. It'd be nice. We can take them in the backyard or take them for a walk in the wagon around the block if we don't touch anything. But yeah. Other than that, so with the boys being born, that kind of like jumped up my focus on finances and being a little bit more intentional about things. Not that we were really terrible in the past, but you know, it's like, what do we do with all this money before we had to pay for daycare and diapers? And we should have been millionaires, but apparently once you start spending all that money, then you start actually looking at it a little bit closer, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, last year the focus was on paying down an automobile that we bought when we got pregnant to cart the boys around in, and beefing up our emergency fund. So those were the two goals we worked on last year. And then this year, the goal was going to be investing and building net worth. So we're not doing too great on the net worth part right now, but I'm sure they'll turn around. But we still have a goal. I mean, we're still getting paid. So we still have a goal as far as our set it and forget it,
Roth
and 401k and some other things as well. Although some of the stuff, you have different months where you have different money. So we have a plan for the year that some months we manually make larger contributions and other months to kind of even out the cash flow for the year. But we're just gauging what we put in, not really what it actually does for us this year in the short term, of course.
Okay. Mitch Clusey, how did you get it so that your it says Clusey Enterprises and it doesn't say your location? Is that just where the location is, or how do you do that?
I think it's because I have the account set up.
Okay.
And logged in, maybe. Yeah. That's my guess. I don't know. Because Jen's got hers too.
Okay. It's your turn. That's why I was calling on you.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And also, I noticed that. I was reading your name. And I'm like, wait a second. It doesn't say you're from Des Moines or Chicago originally.
Right. Yeah. So I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. The market's been interesting. So we run a small business here in Des Moines. Haven't laid anyone off. Kept everyone going here. Sorry, backing up. Fire. We're pretty far down that fire side. We've always been pretty conservative as far as keeping reserves in there. Under leveraging, if anything, on most of our assets and holdings. So that's playing out very well right now, I think, for us. We did exit stock market. I know there's going to be a lot of people that yell at me for that, but we did exit stock market. And uh-oh. Right now, I mean, snapshotting it, that was a good. Oop! Can you still see me? Okay. Right now, it feels like that was a good decision, but you know, I might regret it in 6 months from now. So, is what it is. We're just focusing on doubling down inside of real estate, and we're really, really cash heavy right now. So that'll be helpful. Business wise, you know, and mindset wise. I went through like a, I don't know, 3-day, oh shit, how do we handle this? What do we do if we can't meet in the office? Kind of hunkered down and literally at my office for a little bit. Slept here for a couple nights trying to get my head on straight, putting together virtual plans, that kind of stuff. And that really helped. I was able to push it out to the team. And now I think everyone's in a better place overall. I'm not saying that I catalysted that, but I think like, okay. Now that I have a game plan for working virtually for everyone, it made me feel better. Yeah, kind of an interesting leap. We have submitted for all of the grant monies that we can, including the payroll protection programs that are coming up tomorrow. So we've already got that stuff queued up. Yeah, so kind of interesting. I don't know what it all means, but I'm like, hey, at 0.5%, I'll take a decent chunk of change for 0.5%. And if it gets forgiven, it gets forgiven. If not, I'll pay it back. It's not a problem.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That also, if you think about it, kind of springboarded you forward. If you end up deciding to do anything remotely, like take a couple months in another country or whatever, if you can run the business this way, then you've kind of set up the plan so that you can run it this way.
Yeah, awesome. It's very interesting. We're doing like check-ins every 2 days. So keep that accountability piece, and then all hands on team meeting once a week. We're all going through Traction. So I talked about Traction a while back. We're all going through Traction together as a group and trying to re-implement that way. So it'll be interesting to structure and build systems out around the virtual pieces.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hey, Dave Mitch. Can I ask Mitch a quick question?
This is Chris.
Hey, Mitch, does the, there's so many people are pressuring the governor to do the shelter in place announcement. Would that like kibosh what you're doing, or does that not affect you guys regardless?
So I've talked to a couple folks out in California and in Illinois where that stuff is, where they have the shelter in place orders. property management as well as construction have been considered essential in those areas still. So it doesn't really affect us. Me personally, it would be a personal struggle to overcome just because I refuse to work at home at all. So I don't even take a laptop home. I won't do it because otherwise I never turn off. So I'd probably disregard and come to the office anyway and isolate in place here. So, yeah.
Makes sense. Dave in Urbandale. Dave, I see you're unmuted, but I can't hear you at all. We'll go on to Jared, but Dave, we'll come back to you if you figure out, or maybe you have to call in if you haven't called in. Jared in Altoona, floor is yours.
Well, question again. Tired. Those days. Can you hear me?
It's really choppy, but I heard, and it might be on my end too. I'm not sure, but I didn't get much of that.
I have pretty good internet. It should be me, but yep. You never know. See, I'm very much at the beginning, just kind of trying to get things in place so that way I can have a nice foundation off of. So.
Okay. Cool.
Not much about the market yet. Don't have a lot of money in there. What I have there, I mean, I've lost, but you know, you don't lose until you sell. So
yeah, definitely.
Might as well stay. So yeah, I'm pretty optimistic that it'll go back. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm working from home. So I am a web developer. Stand-up desk rise, which is very helpful with all of it.
Cool.
There you go. But yeah, definitely.
Okay. Dave, are you
home? Get one of those.
Sorry about that.
You're good.
And if you have a song in your heart, you play the piano. I saw in the background.
I've got a couple. Then I have
okay.
A bass. Then downstairs, I got a drum set. Those weird multi-instrumentalists, you know.
That's cool. Okay, Dave, did you get it figured out, Urbandale? Yep. Diana and Ankeny. Is that Diana right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So
hi.
Hi everyone. Actually, today is my first time to join.
Okay.
So I work at Iowa State University, and I signed up about 3 years ago when I moved back to Iowa. I used to work in the private sector at Monsanto Company. I'm an agricultural scientist. So I thought I was on track. Things were going smoothly, and my goal was to retire at age 55. I'm 51 now. So seeing how I've been losing money over the past couple of weeks pushed me into attending this session today, hoping to figure things out. I probably have to change my goals to maybe retire at age 60 now. So yeah, that's my background.
All right, well, we'll talk more about that once we get further into it, but you haven't lost the money yet until you sell it. So, I mean, I would keep in mind that really, I mean, it's at a deep discount right now, the more money you're putting in there. And if it comes back to where it was, I know with the last meetup we even talked about at that time, how many months back it would have been to get to that point. So really in time, you may have lost, let's just say you lost 7-8 months of growth, but we're probably not more than like 7-8 months from where you were before. So if you kind of look at it from that perspective, it's not that it's gone down a bunch. and you've lost anything because you haven't sold anything, but it's just you've lost a few months. And Jessica, you snuck up in front. Are you do you want to talk or are you chewing still? can't hear you. Nope. No audio. Okay. Ryan Dozer, Des Moines.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, cool. Sorry about this Marlin stuff. Diehard fan. Okay. So where do we start with? Five, where are we at kind of thing?
Yep. Just kind of tell us where you're at, kind of what's on your mind, and just a quick introduction.
So I was lucky enough to figure out this whole fire thing towards probably junior, senior year of college. So I'm about 2 years out now. So luckily when I figured it out, I was putting all the money I had towards student, you know, just to not graduate with debt. So I graduated debt free because I was putting every single penny I had, getting scholarships, all that crap, so I could graduate debt free. Now I didn't have a lot of money to my name when I moved here for my first job. But looking back, it's a hell of a decision. So I would say I have a pretty decent start for my age where I'm at. I've been buying like crazy lately, probably too much, draining my bank accounts. So I'll hold off there, but a lot of ETFs, BTI, VOO, VGT, for those of you familiar with Vanguard. That's kind of been where my money's been going right now. And it's just everything I do is long term. So that's just how I gotta sit there, not check it and not be checking the media, do a detox. I follow Jim Cramer too much. He's getting me to buy stuff. But other than that, things I'm just plugging away. I mean, what I do for work, we're actually booming right now. We work in the cord cutting space. So the streaming world's just taken off. So work's been busier than ever. I'm actually making more money now through bonuses and traffic to our site and all that stuff. So it's almost, I'm feeling extremely blessed to be in this position right now.
Yeah, and all sorts of new technology are emerging. So you're right there on the forefront of that. That's awesome.
We cover it all. So troypoint.com for those interested.
Cool. Devin Ames.
Hi. There you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and I thought you were holding really still, but I guess that's just a still photo.
Let's see. Basically, I just found the FIRE movement maybe a couple of years ago. And I'm just trying to save as much as possible. I mean, I started with the Dave Ramsey stuff, and now I'm like realizing that I'm trying to like go another direction. So I'm at that stage of trying to figure out how to make more income to make things go faster. So
okay.
That's all I got.
Kim in Des Moines. Okay. Kim in Des Moines.
Just kind of starting out, been following the Facebook page for a while. We started with Dave Ramsey, worked through some of that and just kind of looking for more in the next step.
Awesome. Awesome. Tyler and Pella.
I guess I've been at it for a few years now. Just kind of still chugging along, working from home now. So that's kind of nice. I enjoy it actually.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. You're like a service tech and going to the mines, don't you?
Yeah, I travel a lot for work, so it's different.
Okay.
Gone 50% of the time or more, usually to foreign countries, so kind of nice to be home.
Okay. Chris and Ankeny.
Hi, this is my first FIRE session. My sister's actually Kim, so she introduced me to it. Basically just been investing through a 401k with work and looking to get in the market now.
Okay. Oh, now people are jumping around. Let me see. If I miss anybody, you're just gonna have to chime in, but I'll keep going. But I see people keep jumping around. Nick Brinks, a new father.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Our little guy came about 3 weeks early. So rather than having him now or next week, we've had him about 2 weeks now. So that's all been good. He's sleeping good, eating good. So mom and dad are happy about that. As far as FIRE goes, basically myself. I've been on the path almost 4 years or so. And I know I guess it's kind of a CNBC thing. They'll sometimes share these articles. At this age, you should have this much saved up in your retirement accounts, things like that. And the comments are always like, oh, this is a whole bunch of crap. This isn't attainable. But before the markets all started diving here a month or so ago, I had roughly 2+ times my salary in investments and retirement. So I felt pretty good about that. And even now, I've still got more than 1.5 times or so, pretty close to 2 yet. So still feeling pretty good. Haven't sold anything, haven't changed anything. I've bought a few different stocks and things and put some extra money into my investment accounts outside of retirement in the last month or so. But just kind of still going on that same path. Haven't really felt any urge to sell. It would have, I mean, if you could time it right, everybody'd be zillionaires. And if we all would have sold out at like February 23rd and get back in at the right time, but in order to time it correctly, you got to do it twice, not just once. So haven't done any of that. Just living life yet. And I'm off work for another week. I took about 4 weeks off through work. Okay. And we're both home, quarantined and whatnot.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people that when they got to like 2010 and kind of on after that, they would talk about that 2008 just happened to be the time they didn't know any better and didn't know much of anything other than they end up having money conveniently at that time and they just dumped it in because they didn't know what else to do with it. And they say that was one of the greatest things that happened to springboard them forward was by having that. So this could easily be another one of those times. And I know a lot of people will say that the uncertainty of all of this is what is really panicking the markets and people in general. So once we get a little more certainty and stuff, and we look back a few months from now, there might be a lot of people like, oh man, why did I ever sell? Or why did I not just buy that? I mean, I'm not saying dump all your money in, but you know, I would not pump the brakes because of the market going down. Okay. Jolene in Chicago, Illinois, are you really in from Chicago?
It's Jolene. I'm not in Chicago. I'm in Osceola, Iowa.
Okay.
This is my second meeting. I'm a controller for a manufacturing plant down here.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Okay. Dave in Urbandale, are you going to come back on this time and we're going to be able to hear you? Dave. Okay, still can't hear you. Can anybody else hear Dave? Or oh wait, here we go. He just typed something.
He put a message in the chat.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. Thanks, Dave. And then the last three have phone numbers, so we're just gonna go with the last four digits. We have a 0231 in Des Moines. Or we'll go on to the next one. Oh, here we go. Hello, 0231. Okay. 0231, you might have to type a comment in there too, like Dave did, just kind of to share if you want to say anything about yourself or what brought you here or any of that kind of stuff, or try to come in a different way. Well, we'll go on to 6012 in McGregor, Iowa. I don't even know where that's at. I see there's a river. Oh, there's Wisconsin. Okay. 6012. Let me try to unmute you. Oh, there you are. Oh, you were there. I've just unmuted you. I don't know if that'll help any.
Yeah, I think that helps. Hopefully. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Or we can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I'm originally from Guttenberg, so that's probably why it's showing there. But I live in Cedar Rapids now. And I'm pretty new to the FIRE movement. I would say like 1 or 2 years, but I've always been interested in investing as much money as I could possibly in my 401k. And so I'm just trying to expand that. This whole thing luckily hasn't really hit us yet. Like my husband and I, we both still have our jobs, and I'm still trying to save as much as I was saving, if not more. However, unfortunately, my parents are at an age where they're about to retire, and my dad just told me the other week that his financial advisor told him to stay in the market one more year because he wanted to get out. And this was like probably at the end of last year. And he said, just give it one more year. And my mom's retiring at the end of this year. So that kind of sucks for them. But otherwise, you know, just trying to deal with all the emotions that everyone's dealing with right now.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of emotions going around there, and a lot of people feel very isolated. And I mean, this kind of stuff really helps too for people that have some sense of purpose and a goal together. Then you can get a chance to kind of, there's no judgment here. If you want to share how you feel, that kind of stuff or whatever, then it's a group, or even on Facebook, they'll add a whole group. If you've got questions, concerns, or, hey, how do I interpret this article? Because it's really freaking me out. Just go ahead and post on the Choose Five Des Moines group. We've got 2474 in Des Moines. Are you there, 2474? Okay. Is there anybody that I missed? For some reason, people were, Darson, where did you jumped around. There you are, Darson.
Yeah, Darson, Des Moines, Iowa. I had some connection issues, so I've been on the phone, back on the computer. And that last person that spoke, I didn't catch her name from Cedar Rapids, but with your parents retiring, I just urge you to help them stay as calm as possible, because their retirement is probably a 20, hopefully 20, 30, 40 year period. So right now, I mean, that sucks. It feels terrible, but it's not the end of the world.
Thank you for that.
Yes. My story. So I've started Dave Ramsey World and went, someone sent me a message and said, you need to check out this Choose FI podcast, listen to a lot of podcasts, and kind of got hooked on that. And so right now I'm in the limbo. So I was actually laid off a couple of weeks ago, not due to COVID-19, but kind of has given me the opportunity to really rethink about what I really want to do and have fun at doing and make money doing it, right? So it's and because of the financial independence world, financially, like, our family is not, I mean, fine for a good 9 to 10 months at least. So like, that's a kind of just a great feeling that just this hard work and, you know, connections here, and I don't know, it's a good community to be around.
Definitely. Be nice if Will was on and call, because I know Will, one of the members, I haven't seen him in a while, but he used to work at a company, and he talks about looking back on being fired from his IT job was like one of the best things to just springboard him forward in life. But you know, if it wouldn't have been for the pink slip, he probably never would have finally decided, hey, you know what, I think I'm ready to do this. But by the fact of being fired and having unemployment to rely on, so he had some kind of cushion to pay for things. And then also unlocked his 401k, so he was able to set up a self-directed IRA and start pouring money into moving it from the markets into real estate and doing all sorts of interesting things with real estate. And I don't know where he's at with buying stuff, but I know that I'm pretty sure he's doing pretty well with it.
Yeah, and it's fun to hear all those stories, and just it brings everything into perspective for sure. So yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So who else did I miss? Or who had technical difficulties and wants to try again? Okay, well, I guess if you sneak in later, sneak in and throw in whatever you want to say. As far as I know, it's a pretty open format, unless Darson, you want to talk some, or we can just kind of, if anybody's got a question to start with, we can just start with a question. I mean, I could even start with a question of for the lady in Fairfax, I believe that's what she said. Anybody have any good books, recommendations, or anything like that for somebody
getting close to that age of retirement for her parents that she could recommend, like, hey, you know, this is a good resource, and you'll take comfort in the fact that these people went through that too. There's got to be something out there or something in the Dave Ramsey world even where, you know, it's just kind of one of these, you know, it might be a few bumpy months, but there's a pretty good chance that a year or two from now, there'll be a nice recovery. So as long as they structure what they have properly, then, or find a different means, like we talked about in the last meetup, just different ways to bridge the time when the markets are down. So you're not pulling away from lower priced funds at the time. I guess that's probably the wrong word to use there, but just ways to kind of hedge that point until the markets recover, or at least get to a better area when things are a little bit less certain.
Ryan, I think that's a great question. I hope people have comment. I guess my one kind of follow-up comment to whoever that was, was it Fairfield or Cedar Rapids? I don't remember who that was. It was one of the phone numbers. But my concerning, the thing that concerned my ear when I heard that was that if they were really planning to retire in 1 year, I mean, that's a short-term investor. So I'm hoping the thought was they still were projecting out maybe to retire in 4 or 5 years. And the financial advisor was saying, yeah, one more year in the market, and then we'll start realizing you're short-term, so you need to start drawing out. So what I'd like to hear from that person that called in and told that story was, if they really were like, we're done working in a year and we're counting on our investments in a year, I would just say, hey, I wonder if this is the financial advisor we need if in a short-term investment situation, he still had them going full-bore in equities.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing too. I mean, from a financial, from that perspective, they should have been pulling things more towards bonds or less risky things just to be able to use things for cash flow versus equities for growth. And if all of a sudden, like, well, market change, well, guess you got to work a bunch more. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a financial advisor at all, but I would think that would make me wonder a little bit, like, yeah, were you a little bit too optimistic and had me in stuff that maybe is a little bit riskier than my tolerance for being that close to retirement?
So if I could add something, one of the things to point out is just because you're retiring, you still have 20 years or more to withdraw the money from that portfolio. So just because you are retiring and starting to take some money out of it doesn't necessarily mean you need all the money. So I would really look into how much actually needs to come out of the portfolio, and that percentage should be a safe investment, but probably not the whole thing.
Definitely.
Or even people talk about retirement kind of like that's when you start your second career. And, you know, you have the money that you use for the retirement, but you might end up doing something that you might be working at a job right now that your parents don't really like. And they might be like, well, but I kind of like this, but it doesn't pay as well. But if they were able to just do that for the next 6-8 months, but it's a lot less stress and it's a lot more flexibility, and they kind of work when they want to work, don't when they don't want to work, just to try to preserve the capital in their account as much as possible, then that might be a way for them to transition towards retirement if it is kind of a high stress job, but they have that option of just kind of retiring, I guess, or starting to work that direction.
So I heard this concept today. It was on a podcast that someone on my team had shared. It's called Mule versus Magician, and there's a whole coaching program around it, but that the concept of working hard versus kind of organizing systems and whatnot around what you're doing. And I think a lot of people equate the W-2 with like end game, right? We'll sit here, we'll do that forever and ever. And we allow the market to kind of control what we're doing. At some point you have to, do I want to be fully reliant? Sorry, I've got a kid screaming in the background. I apologize. Do I want to be fully reliant on that W-2, or is there something more that I want to do? Right. So I'm not knocking 9-to-5 jobs. Don't hear that wrong. But I do think that we should all at some point take possession of that, whether that's in retirement or whether that's present day, but there's definitely some element that should be considered there. So for your parents, right, embrace the opportunity that's in front of them. Look at the market and maybe say, is this where I want to put my money and forever be tied to? Or is there something else that I want to do? I don't know what their hobbies are, but everything's monetizable, right?
Oh, yeah. And I believe this is all being recorded. Is that correct, Mitch? And then I assume the chat comments on the site, I see people are putting book recommendations and things like that. So I'm going to guess that's all part of the recording too then?
Hopefully this time is recorded so I don't have to re-record something, because this is going to be difficult to summarize, guys. So
I'm not taking a single note here. I'm just relying on the fact that it's being recorded and everything's being captured. Then also, if anybody says anything like, I'm really scared about how things are, then they can go back a year from now and say, you know what? I don't know what that was even founded in other than the media, because I kept seeing that bias in the media because they were drawing me into, you know, like I used to make a habit of looking at CNBC. That was like a daily thing at work. I haven't looked at that in months, if not years, probably a couple of years now. But yeah, I mean, always the headline stories are always shock and how things are great or horrible or things are different, this kind of stuff. So it's just kind of capturing all this in time so we can look back on it someday.
Is there anyone that's keeping a journal of how they feel right now, just so that you can look back in the next, you know, period of time and be like, oh yeah, that's what it feels like to have a huge downturn and know where my money's at, I guess. I've not.
No, but it's a good idea. It's a good idea. I know Terry from the RE meetups, he posted like three things on Bigger Pockets. It was kind of like journaling his real estate venture, I guess you could call it. And I read it a while ago and I was thinking how interesting that is. And I could see where, like, and I don't know how he's doing with things right now, but I can see where if you were to look back and say, yeah, I mean, I didn't know shit about shit. And I put it in the journal like, yep, I totally got taken that time. But then you look back on that and say, yeah, you know, I was naive and I did all sorts of things. But man, you know, it's true was what led me to this area right here. Even talking to a person today that his business folded because of this whole thing already. He had to close it. He had to he couldn't make the last payroll part. And it was like, oh man, you know, shittiest thing in the world. And I'm the optimistic and I'm like, I apologize, Roy, this is the way I am. But we talked for a while and he's like, you know, yeah, it's really bad now, but I can see a few years from now, I mean, this is probably the hardest thing I'll ever go through in my life. And I'm gonna look back on this as the growth opportunities. And he wanted to always start this restaurant. And now he's like, it ended up being a burden a little bit, not saying I would ever want it to go under and go under the way it did. But now I did it. And now I know that I at least tried it. And when I'm 70, then I'm going to always know at least I did what I wanted to do because I had a passion for food. And there's just so much growth in that. And I recommended The Obstacle is the Way and the book by John Maxwell, Failing Forward, as two good books right now when going through that kind of situation where you just really feel down about the whole thing. But I remember, I think I read Failing Forward three times over time, but it's a really good book. And you know, if you've got a really shitty thing, like I remember getting fired from a job and it was like a huge misunderstanding. Doesn't really need to go into that end of it. But my wife was a stay at home and our daughter was 5 months old. So I remember calling, because I remember getting pulled into the office, like, really, you guys are firing me? Like, really? You guys think that I'm like going to steal your company? Really? This is everything just is almost surreal. And then I went out and called my wife and I'm like, hey, honey, I just got fired. She's like, oh, come on. Seriously. No, really. You're messing around. I'm like, no, I just got pulled in there and they just fired me. And I'm like, well, she's like, well, what would you do? And I'm like, some big misunderstanding. And then the whole telephone game where one person tells a story and then it gets told again. And this person, they're like, oh, so your neighbor is the founder of the company? Well, that's strange. You got fired for that? Well, yeah, I didn't know you could get fired for that. But yeah, it was a very like, oh crap. And then not long after that, they laid a bunch of people off because that was the timing of the economy. So it kind of feels like where it's at right now. So it was hard to find a different job. But I also know that I can find ways to hustle. And I was actually making more money than I was making there just by doing little side things. I'm like, hey, what do you guys have available? And one person's like, well, have you ever tended bricks before? I'm like, I don't know, but I can tend bricks for a few weeks. So I learned how to, you know, be a brick mason. You know, it's just kind of strange things like that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't document all that stuff, but I mean, it would be interesting for anybody that's going through a time right now where you're just kind of, and it might just feel good to just journal in general for people that do journal, just kind of to get it all out there, get your fears out there, and you just kind of be able to look back on it. And as it gets better and know that everybody's gone through these tough times, it's just, you gotta, I wish I could remember the quote right now, because I told somebody recently, and something like something for success is going from failure to failure without losing motivation and momentum or something like that. And it's kind of that. It's just keeping a very positive attitude in all of this and just looking for the opportunity. There is opportunity in all of it. Sorry. Next person.
So one quick comment. My wife, Jess, who's feeding the baby right now, always uses the term fat gas. So in relation to trying to control what's going on around you, fat standing for feelings, actions, and thoughts, we can't control those things, right? From other people, we can only control them in ourselves. And if we try to, it just results in guilt, anger, and sorrow. And what we're seeing right now is like a national level of people trying to control other people's thoughts and actions and feelings, right? And that's creating this massive anxiety. So Darson, your question about journaling, that's awesome. And I'm not doing it, but I literally will start tonight. And it's kind of cool because we've video chatted a lot. So like to our team, right, we express how we feel. Like that's how we started our meetings as a team group is, how do you feel? What obstacles did you have this week? What's going on? Kind of in that thought. So I'll have to go back and try to capture some of those in the moments. But what it has done, like the phoenix, if you will, of this all, is it's relit like that drive. It's like your back's against the wall. Like, what do we do to scrape and get out of this? So it got rid of some of that complacency or that status quo of everything's going great. I don't really have to do anything. We'll just coast through it. Really reignited that for me. So there's some benefits inside of there.
Definitely. And I know that Jesse's that fat gas is on the long shared document. I remember you added that one time. So word for word, that's all on there.
Yeah, I think the challenge with, like I said, these kind of unprecedented times, I mean, I assume I'm not the only one that had, I have one rental property. It's just a townhome I lived in before I got married, and I've just hung on to it and rented it out. And I'm glad I did, because it's appreciated and I've been paying down the mortgage. And now my renter, he paid me, he sent his Venmo on the first of the month. And then he followed up with an email saying, hey, Chris, I was able to pay, but I just got laid off. So I have no idea what next month is going to look like. And I had already thought that in my mind, because he's in construction. Well, more hit and miss, though, because to the point earlier from Mitch, construction, I think, is considered essential. But anyway, he got laid off. So, and I thought this in my mind, like, what happens if my renter loses his job? And I'm just not going to, at some point, I got to be a smart business person. It's not personal, but I am not going to let that person go out on the street. I mean, we're very fortunate. We've paid off our primary mortgage. So in theory, I can use what we used to pay for our primary mortgage to keep that going. But so that's one thing that's like totally unanticipated. Okay, that might be a hit in kind of my financial plan. And then both my wife and I work in the financial services industry. In every down market, and we've worked long enough that we've been dot com bubble, 9/11, housing boom. Every time a portion of our workforce gets laid off. And so it's like we've got both of those things kind of looming over our heads. And so it is really strange times. And once again, I think, and which is what all of us here in this group are working for, towards, and I think we're a little bit older, so we've had some time behind us. We've we have no debt, we can ride this out, but it does cause things like, oh, I had this perfect plan all of a sudden. Well, maybe it's not so perfect now, but so we're gonna have to pivot. And but to Ryan's point, yeah, I got so many like hustle jobs I could do on the side that people need done. I'm like, okay, go ahead and, you know, lay me off. I will paint houses. I will mow lawns. I mean, I'll find a way. And I think, yeah. So you kind of have to find your way. Yeah. I'm just trying to keep a positive, you know, attitude and all that.
Well, with like your tenant, there should be like $1,200 coming his direction soon. There's unemployment that they changed all the rules on a lot of that stuff. So he's at least guaranteed that. And there's a story that I should find back. I gave to somebody that got fired, and it's he was debating about leaving, and they end up getting fired. And they're, I have to find, it's a parable. It's something about I'll have to find it back. But it's one of those things that they asked this farmer a question, and then he always had the same response over and over again. But it went from like he found some horses, and they said, "Wow, you're like the luckiest person in the world." And he's like, "Well, we'll see." And then all of a sudden, you know, the farmer's son tried taming one of the horses and fell off the horse and broke his leg. And they're like, "Oh, that's so horrible," you know, da, da, da. And he's like, "Well, we'll see." And then they go into war, and they were drafting all the kids about his age, but because his son had a broken leg, he didn't have to get drafted. And like, "Well, that's, you know, you're so blessed that it happened." He's like, "Well, we'll see." So it's just one of those things, like there's things that are always happening. It's just a matter of the perspective and how it happens. And also if you look in the Mitch's comment, your construction worker losing his job may be the best thing that ever happened to him. I don't know what kind of job he had, but he might have been kind of like, you know, I'm really good. I'm a hustler. I really do well. My boss just doesn't treat me very well. And I deserve better. But he's a real hard, just does the job. Well, Mitch is posting right there. You know, if he's in construction, have him reach out. We're booming. I mean, he might tomorrow have twice the work and decent pay in the whole thing, and might be like, "Wow, never would have guessed that would happen." But it's this disruption of our day-to-day and our habits that I think is just really exciting, because we're just, I think a lot of people just kind of kept going from day to day. Well, I was going to the same job, but then all of a sudden when they get laid off, then they've got to like, "Wait a second, I got to find something different. Well, what's out there?" And all of a sudden they're like, "Well, I've been 30 years at Hy-Vee in retail or something like that. There's nothing out there other than that." Well, you might find out there's something in, you know, as long as you got certain skill sets, they're sought after. It's not the education portion necessarily. It's the, can you relate to people? Can you sell? Can you problem solve? Can you time manage? It's all those kinds of interpersonal things, whether or not you can do those. So yeah, I would definitely encourage your tenant to reach out to Mitch and see what he's offering.
And I don't know if anyone else here has real estate, but now's the time to be, in my opinion, do it however you want. Now's the time to be compassionate with tenants. So before the government announced anything, we had already sent out, "Hey guys, if you pay on time this month, we're going to give you a $50 credit towards future rent, whether you want to use it now or apply it towards accrued charges." We also pushed out, we said, "Hey, we're waiving late fees this month," just preemptively. And lo and behold, not everyone, but most people have already paid rent that's due by the 5th this month to take advantage of that small incentive. And we haven't announced it yet, but my gut says we'll do the same thing next month. And for us, that makes a lot of sense. We're giving away, you know, for managed property, we're giving away a percentage, or that $50 is coming out of our management piece, but it's building the relationship both with our landlords as well as with our tenants, right? And it takes off some burden to people. And you know, if you do that, just make sure you make a uniform stance on it. Don't haphazardly apply that. I've seen a lot of people saying, "Well, we'll use security deposits towards rent." Don't do that either. Like, look at the legality, guys. Don't start making quick hit decisions, for those things. But now is really the time to build relationships if you haven't built them already. And remember, there's some federal guidelines that came out that don't necessarily let us be or follow previous protocols as far as eviction goes or anything else. So keep that in mind.
Who else has a question, comment, concern, topic? Open just about anything, so... Throw your question out there.
Call their car insurance and reduce their mileage or anything like that. I've heard some people suggesting that.
That's a good idea. Wonder what the other
people had done it, if it was worth the time to put in to do it, I guess.
So we haven't called around to cost save anything, but we have had a handful of folks in other mastermind groups that I'm part of calling just telecom, for example, like Mediacom, CenturyLink. Those guys are dropping payments substantially right now and saying, hey, guys, thanks for being loyal customers. If you ask, if you sit through that process. And we're not doing that personally at the business level either, but there are a handful of folks that are cutting costs that way. And that applies to pretty much anything. So a lot of the companies that we're aware of are also doing forbearance programs, including banks, right? Just make sure you understand what you guys are signing up for if you do start calling around. So we were told that a certain company in town here is doing forbearance for mortgage payments. They're saying no problem. Next 3 months, don't have to pay. On month four, though, everything's due at once. So that's creating a pretty big storm for a lot of people. And you understand that if you're going to ask for reductions in anything and or payment deference, that it might come with something that you're not expecting. So try to really drive down into those questions and see, you know, if you give me the reduction now, is it going to be 10 times more in a year? Just triple check that. There's people taking advantage of that at the business level, and they're big companies that you maybe wouldn't expect would do that. So, or you would. Yeah. I mean, depending on your stance about them.
Yeah. I mean, what I was originally asking about as well is the, like your auto insurance rate is based on the fact that you're driving your car a certain amount of miles. And I've heard that some people have said, well, you know, we're in a shelter in place. We're driving like 5 miles a week to go to the grocery store or something. And people have been saying they've got pretty significant savings in the short term on their auto insurance. Obviously, they'll have to go back up again once they're able to drive more.
Yeah, but that might be such a short term thing. I think it hasn't happened to me personally, but I think there's sometimes the insurance companies ask you to submit your odometer reading on a, you know, every other year or something like that. So they might give you rates for one thing, but then if you 2 years later submit your odometer reading, I don't know how that, if they can change it based upon that you end up putting on all those miles, or, you know, if next month you start driving 10 times as much, I don't know how they calculate that out later on when they find out that you have been after you kind of got the rate reduced.
Yeah. One other thing that I did hear is life insurance right now. You can get some decent policies, no qualifier. So previously uninsurable folks might be able to get some life insurance if that's a thing for you. My insurance guy reached out. He's like, hey, do you want some insurance? I'm like, nah, still good on that. But $10,000 for, I think, $60 a month or something. No questions or anything else. So if you need that, it might be a good time to reach out. I think that was through AAA. Jones Insurance here in town called me about it.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know what you do if your odometer doesn't even work. That's a good question, either Sean or John.
Insurance companies for that.
Who else has something? Do you think virtual happy hours are going to catch on? Because I know that we were talking about that earlier before the whole meetup started. I've heard a few people talking about the whole, yeah, I had a couple too many drinks at the virtual meet or virtual happy hour today. And it's like, really, what? But then all of a sudden I started thinking about, like, yeah, that is actually kind of a, you know, you have to worry about OWIs. You're drinking from the comfort of your own home and just a bunch of coworkers or friends or whatever getting together or just hearing people in general. I can think of several examples now of people that would post like, you know, they had a virtual meetup with their high school friends, and they're like, I haven't laughed that hard in years. And it was just like this tragic, or I guess we call it tragic or whatever. This event is bringing those people all together and realizing there is a way they can all connect and just, you know, bring back old memories and have a drink together.
That's interesting. That's a unique question.
Yeah, my work done does a couple times. I missed last week's.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a huge.
And is that something?
Not a, go ahead.
Not a huge something, and then it kind of broke up.
Nope. Go ahead.
Okay. So, would you guys ever do that before this pandemic, or it just started because of this?
We did normal happy hours then. I never went to those. I'm really there for the people, and I drink, but I hate being around drunk people. So if I were one person, I would leave probably.
Yeah.
Those people do.
Well, if it's virtual, you just hit a button, say, okay, guys, bye, click. You know, it's not like you got to like get awkward and leave, or, oh, my connection's bad, I got to go. But yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
It's just one of those interesting ways to connect that we probably wouldn't have done before. Or even people, I was talking to somebody recently that she used to play, I guess Dungeons and Dragons is an online game. But
not usually online, because I play that too a little bit. People have definitely done that.
But she was saying that she must have played it years ago in college. And I don't know if it was some of the same people she used to play with or if it's different. But she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I haven't done that in years, but just, you know, bored at home, didn't know what else to do. So I got on there and connected with some people and how much fun she had. She's like, yeah, I can see people getting addicted to that maybe have broken that habit. But I mean, if you're at home, you're lonely and you're trying to figure out what to do. I mean, there's one more way just to connect with people and entertain yourself.
Right.
If you don't know.
I used to be a huge gamer, like all through college, I was a big video gamer. So this is an interesting, trying time to not relapse into that addiction, if you will. It's interesting as a team, we brainstorm kind of, you know, compliance versus non-compliance people, as far as the COVID piece goes out, and addictions were our largest, like number one. Contractors, ironically, were number two. Addiction piece from a relapse and mental health standpoint is definitely trying through this period of time. So I do know.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That virtual happy hour was pretty consistent inside of the gaming community prior to, and Dungeons and Dragons had some, I wouldn't call it super super users at the time, but I think it will become a lot more popular as a result of needing that social interaction and finding ways to do it this way. So,
okay. Or has anybody tried that? It just came out a few weeks ago. They came out with a Chrome browser that you can watch Netflix shows together with your friends. And it's something about you, like everybody downloads the Chrome browser. And then you choose, like, does everybody have access to the show or are you the only one that has access? And then there must be, I don't know if it's typing chat or if you can actually like video chat, kind of like we're doing. But then you just kind of like, okay, let's start that movie that we all want to see together. Remember that movie 20 years ago, how funny that was? And then you can just like watch that movie. And it's just by adding some kind of Chrome browser extension that just came out. Has anybody tried that? Or it's just another one of these like interesting things.
I haven't heard of that.
Well, next month, if we do this, we'll have to see if somebody wants to try that. Or, you know, I always wanted to watch that movie, Think and Grow Rich. I'm just so cheap that I don't want to spend at the time they wanted like $50 to watch it. And I'm like, there is no way I'm going to spend $50 to see. They made the movie Think and Grow Rich, the stories, into some kind of full length feature film where it's just like little mini series of little stories in the book. But I know now it's like $14.95 or something like that to rent it. But yeah, we could get like a virtual Think and Grow Rich viewing party together or something like that. And we could all pitch in a buck or who knows, somebody just pay $14.
One random fire thing that we found recently was Rocket Books. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them. But
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. So they're new to us and they have been awesome for me, both from a personal side as well as like every note we're taking right now is coming in here. So just so everyone knows, it's basically like a sheet of vinyl paper in here, handful of different layouts, and then you can erase it. The pens that you write with are all erasable. But the other like super benefit of it is you can take a picture of it, of the page, and it like auto syncs to whatever storage you want to use. So if you use Evernote or Google Drive or something like that. So random fire tip that we stumbled across.
And I also know with that Rocketbook, because we've got some like Rocketbook fanatics at work. So they've got, they'd use it for everything, but you can get the pages for free. So you can print them off. I don't know, he gave me some kind of link to some site to get them, but the pages are free. So you can just write them all out and then chicken scratch them as many as you want. And then it's just a matter of taking a picture of it with your phone with the app, and then it just syncs it. And if you want it to go to email, it goes one way. If you want it to go to Evernote, it goes the other way. If you want it to go whatever, just by circling or putting an X through the apple or the diamond or whatever you, whatever it's, whatever shape on the bottom is, I guess that's what determines where it goes, just by snapping a picture of it.
Yeah, it's
that's really awesome. Cool.
And then they make them for whiteboards too, for streaming purposes. So if like we have the beacons on our whiteboards, so you just put a camera at it and it syncs it up a lot better than like you would be able to do with a typical stream. So it's kind of, it's cool. Very, very cheap, very low tech.
And doesn't it also, it OCRs it too? So if you don't have really sloppy handwriting, then it can not only type in the text, but then it's searchable text.
Yep, absolutely. So for journaling, I can tell you where that's going. It's going in here. And then, I use different colors based on action, which the program can pick up too. So it's kind of cool.
That's cool. So what has everybody else done that is kind of shelter in place? I know we're not a shelter in place order, but what are some things that you've done lately that are different than what you would have done before? Like, are you deciding to take a course on something that you always wished you would have taken a course on? Cleaning up the room that you've been putting off for way too long? Whatever along those lines.
For me, I'd say cooking. I normally would never cook anything, or not very much anyway, but I've been doing a lot of grilling and cooking in the house.
That's cool.
I haven't been out deep since this whole shutdown, I guess.
You're trying to just make like your basic meals, or are you trying something that you're like, it might not even turn out, but I'm just willing to be adventurous and try something just unbelievably crazy?
A little bit of both.
Okay. How about anybody else?
Hey, I've heard, I don't think we're unique here, because I've seen a lot of people on Facebook talk about this, but yeah, we've done like family game night every night. We've got one daughter, and we might have done board games once every 2 or 3 weeks. Now every night we're doing a game, which is nice. So we're, it's an interaction. We were before, you're too busy because you're running her to dance or the piano, and one of us has a meeting at night, and all that's gone. And so all of a sudden you have all this time. So that's been really nice.
Yeah. Anybody else? Keep going. Diana, I heard you.
Yeah, I would like to ask a question that I've been pondering in. So my mortgage has got a small amount remaining, like $60,000 to pay it up. And I was planning to pay it up by next year. But I'm realizing that with the offers coming on board, I don't know whether it's a good idea. I thought I'd throw it out there. So I'm getting all these offers for HELOCs at 199, fixed rate HELOC at 199%, when my mortgage is at 4.4%. And I thought maybe it's a good idea, since I'm planning to pay it up, as soon as possible. So why don't I consider moving everything to a HELOC? I'm paying it up anyway in less than 2 years.
So we use lines of credits for almost everything that we do. And this is personal, so I don't know if I'm not a financial advisor, so don't take this to the bank. But we use lines of credit for everything we do because we can pay them down as needed and we can draw back against them as needed. So there's a lot of expense saving that occurs when the money comes back in. We pay it down, we have zero balances on things, and then, oh, we need to borrow it again. Cool. It's right there. There's no reappraisal. Mm-hmm. There's none of that. So my opinion is line of credit, if you can do it, HELOC, is much stronger than a mortgage. As long as you're disciplined with it, right? And kind of know those pieces and also triple check the calls on them. So can the bank close those loans at any time? Can they call them due at any time? Is there any kind of clauses or provisions inside of that HELOC that would require that you keep a certain amount of equity in the home, that kind of stuff. So definitely triple check the fine details, but I'm a big proponent of lines of credit versus mortgages.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, because I have, my home is like almost 400,000, and so I have a big chunk of money in there. So I'm just I thought it's a great opportunity, but that's the fear I had, that when I was listening to Dave Ramsey, he's very much against that, right? He says you can never trust a HELOC. So it was really driving me crazy why, when I spoke with the bank, they said it's a fixed rate HELOC. So it's never going to change. And this is more stable than what Dave Ramsey is worried about.
Yeah. And with HELOCs, just make sure, again, those provisions are key. So some HELOCs, if you don't have a certain amount drawn on there, they're going to hit you with a fee anyway. Or they can say, hey, you haven't drawn anything on here, we're going to go ahead and close that line for you. When they call them due, that hasn't happened to us, and I don't think it will because of the loans that were locked, or the lines that were locked into. But they might say, okay, you have a $100,000 line of credit, you've got 60 pulled against it, we're going to cap off future draws, and you can only have 60. Now you're basically locked into a mortgage type situation. And historically, HELOCs are typically a higher interest rate than a fixed term, or will be over time. So that fixed rate might not be fixed for 30 years like a mortgage would be, right?
Oh, yes. So in this case, where I plan to pay it out in less than 2 years anyway, I may not be caught up in a messy situation, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks. I would also calculate out what the difference, like what would the savings actually be from the 4 point whatever to the 1.99, just to see if there's really that much of a difference. If you're planning on paying it off in a year or two, then I mean, there may not be that much to have to look through a bunch of details, fine print, trying to figure out all the coordinating of it. But also on the point about the Dave Ramsey, you've got to understand too that he's trying to reach a broad audience of people that are typically far into debt. So this is kind of like the FIRE group is like the graduates from Dave Ramsey in a sense. But a lot of people are that Dave Ramsey is drawn towards, or however you want to say that backwards. But they're usually pretty far in debt. They don't know a lot about money. They're not very good with it. And if you were to say, because like one thing a lot of people will do is they'll say, well, you know, why not just wrap up all your credit cards and all that stuff and then take out a home equity line of credit, and then you can have this lower rate and then all this stuff. Well, what usually ends up happening is those people, they wrap all their credit cards and stuff up into this nice, pretty little 2% HELOC. And then they're like, well, now I have no balance on my credit card. Oh, you know, I just kind of wrap my car into that too. And all of a sudden they start tying all these things into, it's all anchored into your property. So if you get too far down that path, you're going to lose a property because it's all anchored to that. But as long as you're disciplined, like Mitch was saying, if you're disciplined, then you don't have to worry as much about that. But I think for the average person, they believe that a credit card shouldn't be paid off every month. I mean, to me, that just seems crazy as can be. But they just say, well, yeah, everybody carries a balance. No, not everybody. So people, I think, that aren't accustomed to that, if they had a zero balance, that would just be way too tempting for them to want to buy some extra Christmas presents just because, hey, look at the credits available. And then you're tying it all back to your mortgage or your property.
Oh, I hear you. Thank you. Thank you for your advice.
Just a general piece of piece, whatever. I don't know. Take anyone's advice and do your own research, right? Including the gurus, especially the gurus, right? They're like Ryan said, they're hitting a broad audience. They're trying to hit kind of that first tier thing. Most people don't understand what the next level is until they've kind of been there or heard it. And then there's a whole nother level after that, but it's difficult to kind of step up that chain unless you get good at critical thinking for yourself and making your own decisions. And once you've made a decision, go with it and find out whether it's the right one and own that decision. There's so much second guessing because we're comparing our own decision-making power to that average crowd or what someone else is doing. I mean, think about the pressure that friends and family put on you when you want to quit your 9-to-5 job, for example. Why would you leave a $100,000 job? Because I'm not happy there. Well, that doesn't make sense conventionally. So definitely make sure you're making your own decisions and you kind of have to self-discipline to the point of, okay, staying true to the decision you make.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So one of the things that I would add is I don't think we're in a really weird economy right now, where I don't think we'll see mortgage rates this cheap in probably ever again in your life, because the Fed is highly encouraging that. And the problem is if you, capital is getting really expensive for like corporations, Carnival Cruise Lines, I think their bonds just went for 11% as an investment grade investment. So you're seeing where I think the stock opportunities are so much more. You're going to be able to get real estate cheaper. In our taxing space, we're going to be able to get more inventory than ever at probably better prices and better rates than we've seen in a long time. And so I don't think there's a better deal right now than just taking the 30% or taking the 30-year mortgage and doing something with it. I'm a little riskier, but in your situation, I would take the whole full $400,000 out and get a 30-year mortgage on it and invest it. But that's what I would do. That's probably more aggressive than you want to be.
No, yeah, for me, I just want to get rid of, pay up the mortgage, not have any debt at all. And then I can, my next step was then to try and go into real estate investment. But I'm not as aggressive as you are, I guess. I would like to deal with my biggest debt, get rid of the mortgage, be debt free, more like what Dave Ramsey says. Then I can go into real estate. Now nothing is holding me back.
I know Chris has got some stuff to add to this if he wants to add anything to the what it feels like to get rid of the mortgage and that end of it. If not, that's fine too. I just know you've talked about that a couple times, and it's up to you.
No, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I used to be on the other side of things where I looked at my cheap mortgage rate. I'm like, I mean, this is cheap money. I can take it and make it work over here, and I'd be foolish to pay off my mortgage. And I just over time, and I'm sure some of it was Dave Ramsey, speaking in my ear over the radio too. But so we did eventually pay ours off early. And it's, part of it's realistic financial numbers. Another part is peace of mind that you really don't know until it hits. And this would be a good example with all these unknowns with this financial situation coming up and not, I mean, all of a sudden having, $1,300 a month that you used to, have to pay, that's off the board. It really does give you a peace of mind. And then all of a sudden now you have that additional lump of money to invest or, you no longer have to set aside money for Christmas because, that's just kind of naturally, coming your way because you're not paying for your house. So it's very powerful. And I always heard people talk about that. And I always thought, yeah, whatever. But yeah, when you do hit that, it is, I think it is pretty powerful. And to that point too, we did buy a home underneath our means. I mean, we're happy with it and everything. Yet we could have gotten a lot larger home. But yeah, it paid off in the end too. Because we didn't get this huge mortgage, we were able to throw a lot more at it than, you know, a lot of our peers that we work with that are, you know, throwing, you know, twice as much at a mortgage every month. And so, I mean, I think it makes a big difference in the end. But I do appreciate the argument on the other side, as far as it's cheap money. So yeah, if it's kind of in your nature, like, hey, I'm gonna leverage that, and I'm gonna do all these good things over here. I mean, there definitely is a path for that, and a lot of people have done really well going that route too.
Thank you, Chris. And also, Diane, on the Dave Ramsey guru stuff, like Mitch was saying about, you know, you can't trust certain people on, you know, you got to do your independent research on things. I know there's a lot of people, if you were to, you know, they say Dave Ramsey's good at getting people out of debt and trying to, you know, get them to live within their means and stuff like that. But as soon as you start going into the investment world with Dave Ramsey, it gets very interesting. And a lot of people quickly poke holes in his investing philosophies in the stock market. But up until that point, most people say a lot of what he has to say is pretty good, sound advice for people just trying to figure it out and move forward.
Absolutely. And what Chris talked about, just the peace of mind of knowing that I don't have a mortgage. Whatever I'm doing now, I can take a risk. I can do whatever I want with my excess money. That's where I want to be. Yep. I'm not as entrepreneur like, you know, other people. That's why, you know, I left the private sector because there was no job security. And that's why I actually had a salary cut to go to Iowa State, because there's more job security. You don't get fired at a public university. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, not too aggressive, but still trying to retire early.
Yep. And also, I don't know what percentage your mortgage, you don't have to say obviously, but what percentage of your monthly expenses is your mortgage. But once that's gone, then the cost it takes to live might be cut in half or by a third. And all of a sudden you realize it takes a lot less to live on. It's kind of like you go to the shockingly simple math behind early retirement, Mr. Money Mustache type stuff, where if you realize it doesn't take that much to live on if you have if you don't live outside your means and you just don't do a lot of things a lot of other people typically think they have to do. And then when you realize, well, $25,000 a year I can live pretty good on if I don't have a mortgage, if I've got the XYZ figured out, then it's like, well, I easily make enough money that I can cash flow $25,000 in residual in order to cover that lifestyle. Then congratulations, you just calculated out that you've hit retirement. And then it's just a matter of what do you do from there? And then maybe retirement is that you still work a few hours just to do what is your passion project versus what you don't really want to do, or something that may pay a lot more, but it's not really one of those things you want to do. Like I was talking to an engineer recently, he's like a senior engineer working for this company for a lot of years, well, where I work. And he's got his goal when he retires. He started a nonprofit called Hope's Toolbox, where his plan is to, him and a bunch of engineers or mechanical engineers are collaborating on creating sustainable things around the world in like third world countries using the resources that are readily available around them. And it just sounds like such a cool idea. And he's like, yep, I just got to put in a couple more years of this. And then once I'm done with that, then that is his passion. And I mean, you can just see his eyes light up, like the fact that you can tear apart old tires found in some part of, you know, some part of Africa, that you can turn them into this, or these oil barrels and turn them into that. And then you just get a bunch of creative engineers together. And I'm sure there's enough money in that for him, but it's just, you got to make sure you've got enough money to at least maintain your living, or at least comfortable with that. And then you can start whatever is your second career, or I guess in your case, it'd be a third career. Then if you went from the private sector to the university and now whatever you may do down the road, well, then real estate next.
You're absolutely right. It's kind of exactly what I was planning as well, because at Iowa State, you can negotiate to work 50% of your time as you get older. So that has been my plan, to say, okay, it's a cutback on my paycheck. I never get fired until maybe I turn 70 years old. And I can decide to 50% of the time, and then I can volunteer. I was born in Zimbabwe, in Africa. So I like to volunteer and help African smallholder farmers who always suffer a lot from droughts and all that. So after having benefited from the good education and opportunity to work in the U.S. private sector, before I die, I would like to help my, you know, my continent. So I can only be able to do that if I can cut back on my full-time employment.
Awesome. Would that still then provide healthcare benefits then if you went to the 50%?
Yes, as long as it's you take about between 50 and 55%, and you still have, ISU actually has very good health insurance, better than the private sector. I was surprised. It's pretty good.
Sounds like you've set up like the perfect long-term plan.
It is. Awesome. I was so
congratulations
surprised.
On that.
I never thought a public university could, almost each time I go in my medical expenses, I just pay the copay of $10. And my boss actually, she had a baby premature and she had a bill of almost $500,000. And she said she only paid $10 copay.
Wow.
So it's amazing for a public university.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey. Yep, that's a good visit.
So who else has a question or a comment or a concern or a story or anything else on your mind that you'd want to talk about? Or
I was curious, they keep talking about this $1,200 per person kind of thing coming up. Yep. And they keep talking about income as the deciding factor. What is the income? What does that mean? Is that gross income? Is that adjusted gross income? What is that deciding factor on?
I don't know.
It's adjusted gross income. It's AGI.
Okay. So I was wondering, I'm probably above that. So if I just put in traditional 401k, I could pull back down into some of that, and was thinking about if that would benefit me at all or not.
Okay, so can I take this one? It's adjusted gross income to get your the $1,200 they're sending out in the next couple of weeks. They're going to use your most recent filed tax return. So if you haven't filed your 2019 and you would qualify based on your adjusted gross income in 2018, I would not file the tax return if that's going to show that you're not going to qualify for it. If you've already filed the tax return and you qualify for it, you're going to get the money. Now later, if you didn't qualify in 2018 or 2019, but you qualify in 2020, they're going to give you that as a credit back on your taxes in 2020. Now, if you get the money in based on your 2018 or 2019 tax return, and you end up not qualifying based on your 2020 income, my understanding is they're not going to take that money back from you. So you're not going to have to repay it. They've changed the language of that, I think, on the last minute.
Well, we're fortunate that we have a brilliant tax expert on here that unfortunately can't talk, but he can type it so that we can always look back on exactly what Dave has to say, and that unfortunately that the avocados aren't cheap right now. So I'm a little bit bummed about that because I'd love to make some guacamole during this time. But yeah, Dave can probably answer all this through chat, unfortunately, to help anybody out. Or you could even message Dave if you got a specific question on that portion, and he could like reply back to
whatever it is. But Tyler, I mean, you probably have the answer you're looking for the most part from Sean. Yes.
So if I increased my traditional 401k instead of Roth 401k, I would be able to probably pull back down and get that down lower and qualify for some. I don't know. At least I'll think about it. But.
Well, it sounds like it's all based upon what's already decided. So by making changes now, it probably wouldn't change anything. But that's just throwing that out there, because if they're talking, we're going to somehow get this money in the next, you know, few weeks, whatever you did now wouldn't probably make much of a difference.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a difference for the check that comes in a couple of weeks, but they're talking that this is actually truly a 2020 rebate. They're just pulling it forward now for the people that need it. So if you qualify for this thing in 2020 tax season, then sounds like that's when you'd get it as well. You have the ability to get it then or now.
Oh.
Basically, yeah, they're trying to compensate for people who traditionally had a good income, per se, and then this economic hardship came along, and now their income is lower for 2020 than maybe it has been in 2018, 19 previously, and so that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, so if you don't qualify on your 2018 or 19 tax return, and they're not going to send, they don't send it to you in the next couple of weeks, it will true up to your 2020 tax return. So in that case, lowering your adjusted gross income would help you out. So you could do something like contribute to 401k. I'm not sure if they moved the Roth IRA or if they moved the IRA contribution deadline to July. I think that might, that you can now contribute to an IRA for 2019 all the way to July 15th, but you definitely can still do it till April 15th if you want to change your 2019 income. That might not make any difference right now. But yeah, it's going to true up to 2020. Now, like Mitch might have just had a kid. And so that, in the event that that doesn't get added onto your 2019 taxes, if that doesn't show up, you can go back in 2020 when you file your taxes and get it. Somebody like Mitch probably pays estimated taxes anyway, so you could probably just not just reduce your withholding on your estimated quarterly estimated taxes, or reduce your withholding, or however you want to do it, so that you get a little bit more money now.
So I'm kind of curious how they know. I mean, I assume they use the bank account till the money lasts. Like if you got a refund, they would use that bank account it's tied to. But so I'm guessing they're just going to put that money in there eventually. But if you chose to not take the money, do you have to tell them somehow not to take the money, or how does that happen? I'm sure Dave can type the comment in a little bit on the answer to that. But because, yeah, it just sounds like for just Americans, it's just going to like show up. That's kind of what I've heard.
I actually just listened to a couple podcasts today. One of them was the Bigger Pockets Money podcast. Another one was the Choose a Buy podcast. And they were both talking about that. And they, one of the actual questions that brought up was, if you don't want the thing, it doesn't matter. You get it anyway. So.
So who else has a question or topic or concern, comment, complaint? What do you think of this format? It's actually kind of nice. I like the fact of the recording capturing ability. My drink is about empty, so I can't just like say, hey, can you just make me another screwdriver? So that part's not the best, but it's cheaper. And I just need a bit, you know what I need to do is get a second cup and then I'll just have it ready to go. But no, I mean, this is other than my couple, I mean, I've done some video stuff before where it's like a one-on-one type thing. And then these couple Zoom family get-togethers these last two Sundays, which we're planning on the next few Sundays. That's what we're going to do. But other than that, I mean, this is kind of, I don't have a lot of experience with this multi-group, lots of people on at the same time, other than I guess we do it at work. But for some reason, it feels different when it's done at work. This doesn't feel like work, obviously. But it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a good alternative to be able to meeting in person.
So I wonder if we'll start having, like, we have to have a virtual computer set up so there's, like, some people meet in person and some people don't meet in person, or if that would be too cumbersome to make something like that work out. But even like the fact of being able to get people, you know, from the Cedar Rapids area that, you know, you, Sean and John, you guys usually were driving when you were coming here. And that's got to make for long drives home after, you know, a meetup that ends 8:30, 9 o'clock, depending on how much talking is going on. But just to be able to remote in, and if you show up late or don't show up late, or if you don't feel the best, it's just a matter of, you know, log in and listen or get the recording later.
I really like that. Sorry, yeah. I really like the virtual stuff. It actually, for us, it's a lot more time efficient, and you know, we can have a little one playing on the floor next to us, which is helpful. So I do like it. I was adamantly against virtual meetings, but it is a huge time saver.
Oh yeah.
Of course, the downside for those that own restaurants and are hurting is like, okay, now we're all realizing, hey, we could do this without you. So it's like, yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, we could make this even harder on them in the long run.
Well, but I heard an interview from the owner of Splash, and I guess he owns all the Jethro's, and he was just kind of laying it out there like there's just too many restaurants. There's been too many restaurants for a lot of years now. And his opinion was, he's like, I know it sounds heartless, but he said, I think a lot of them should be closing. He said the fact that every strip mall has, you know, their own little shop in there, he just did not like the whole idea, but he just thought there was too much of them and they're just everywhere. So he thought that should be scaled back anyway. I mean, I don't know if it should be or not, but that was just kind of his opinion, that it's been just such a saturated market for so many years now. It's like, how many different ways can you make a burger? Throw a zombie over here for some, and then, you know, whatever over here for the other ones.
Yeah, I've got friends that are like stressing because now Steak and Shake might not come. I'm like, really? You really have a hard time finding a good burger? You really got to have the Steak and Shake or your life's not complete? I mean, I was just like, what is that about?
Learn how to make one at home.
Dave had a good question in chat. Who's been supporting local restaurants or taking a lot or using a lot of takeout?
I've been doing it weekly.
Eat out a lot, but we did. It's funny you said Jethro's. They have half price boneless wings on Thursdays, so that's been our go to on Thursdays. And there's a Greek restaurant downtown that we've been doing takeout a couple times too.
Yeah, I know that they that was quoted, and I've heard it multiple times now. That Splash guy made it first. He said, if you want your favorite restaurant to exist after this, then you should probably order their takeout during this time, because a lot of them are just so cash flow tight that they're just week to week just to make it last, that, you know, just take something to go here and there, and that'll definitely help them out. I've also heard they've been talking a lot about getting gift cards at your favorite restaurants, but then I've also heard the flip side of that saying, well, but what if you get the gift cards and the place goes under? And so it's kind of the other end of it, because if the tsunami is coming where a third of these restaurants won't make it, then what happens if you get a gift card for a place that no longer exists and that place files for bankruptcy? But yeah, I would say at least everybody should try to support if you like the food. I mean, even like Taco John's. I mean, we've gotten Taco John's twice in like the last week and a half, just because why not? I like it. Family likes it. It's cheap.
I think we are paying local
workers, even though they're a corporation, they're still paying local workers. So
yeah.
Yeah, right. Definitely. And it's a step up from
the biggest thing to keep in mind is so it's also something to keep in mind is looking for. So Taco John's is a franchise location too, versus like corporate. So if you're going to like an Olive Garden or something that's corporately owned, yes, you're supporting maybe the waiters and waitresses and cooks and everything a little bit to have a little bit more, but it's not helping keep the business in the same way. Like they can support and they can still pay their people a little bit better. But one of the things we're trying to do at Archway Properties is figure out with doing some, if there's ways where we need to try to do some referrals or something, offering restaurant gift cards to like local restaurants of their choice as like kind of the thank you, instead of doing some sort of a headfinder fee or something. And I've been pushing that with the franchise owners that I work with in a different company to try to help build up that revenue coming into restaurants.
That's a really good point. Didn't really think about that part of is it franchise owned or is it corporate? But yeah, I'll definitely keep that in mind too. Yeah, I heard Bach closed, and I really wanted to try that Brazilian steakhouse. I know we tried that Terra one or whatever it's called in West Des Moines, which was excellent, and I really enjoyed that. I don't know how often I would do that, but just the whole idea of as much meat as you want and a lot of different ideas of meat. But yeah, I just think Bah is just the beginning of a lot of them, and their business model was just set up so that they kind of, I mean, you really don't order Bah to go, your $50 unlimited meat. I mean, how do you make that work? Unfortunately.
But I'm super bummed about Bah. I've walked past it probably 60 times and never stopped. And we always said we're going to stop, but now they're gone. That's heartbreaking. Out of everything, I think that's the tragedy that just occurred.
I heard it was excellent. We were going to try it too sometime, but didn't get the chance.
Are you guys using Facebook group? Like the local food places? Do you guys have a Facebook group there? Like Cedar Rapids, there's a Facebook group that I'm part of where the people post like what's still open and what they're getting and where they're going to and if hours change and just supporting local businesses in Cedar Rapids.
I'm not aware of that, but if somebody finds that, go ahead and type that into the chat here.
The Doing Register did an article with, and they listed every restaurant that was open and their takeout hours and this and that, but I don't know if I see anything on Facebook. There might be something.
Well, I'm sure there's got to be something. My wife has told me there's a Facebook group now that like points you in like the deals of certain locations that's in Ankeny and, you know, somewhere in Des Moines. But it's like, so what's this group do? They point you at what? But yeah, I mean, it sounds very niche for finding deals in shopping. Cheesecake Factory, stop paying the rent. Yeah, this is going to, I don't know. It's unfortunate.
I don't know who made that comment. That's interesting that someone have insight since, you know, it's the Jordan Creek, which is a huge. Someone must work for Jordan Creek or something. I don't know how else you'd have in.
It made the national news a couple of days ago where, and I'd have to pull up the story, but it's nationwide. The Cheesecake Factory sent all of their tenants, landlords, note that they were not going to pay their April rent.
And Subway.
Subway did it. I'm sure there's more chains that have announced similar moves, that even large corporations are.
Oh, Mattress.
Oh, Mattress. Yeah, one of the mattress stores.
There were three of them.
Yeah. It's been a national trend, and it's a little alarming. Large corporations, I guess.
So don't invest in commercial real estate is what I'm hearing.
It's going to be a bloodbath. Yeah. Well, and also if you think about it, there's so many places that we're putting up all these commercial, like even in like in Ankeny, there's just all these places that have never even been filled with a retail whatever. And I don't know what they're going to do after this now because they just built them. And I guess they hope they would eventually, Ankeny would just continue exploding. I mean, there's got to be a point where it doesn't, but maybe this is the start of it. Hey, has anybody joined lately that I've seen some different people pop in? Is there anybody that didn't introduce themselves that wants to take a moment, just kind of unmute yourself, say hi, anything about yourself, just kind of tell us a little bit about the fire, where you're at on things, or if you have any questions, concerns, anything you want to talk about? Not to put you on the spot, Rachel, I don't think I recognize that name from before. If not, that's fine.
Yeah, I just joined on my computer, so I was on the phone before because I wanted to see the chat. Okay. So I couldn't see that, so sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. So then, Mitch, how does everybody get the recording afterwards? Is it because you've used an email address on here, then we'll get a link to the recording from there, I assume?
I think that is accurate. I think.
Okay.
I've never sent a recording out this way, so hopefully when this ends, everyone just gets a copy of it. But if not, I'll push a button. I'll figure it out. I did verify like four times. It is recording. I see the little button at the bottom of the screen. We're good.
Okay, it's not a trick button then. Okay. Yeah, I'll be curious to see that if this is, it'd be interesting to see then, is this something that's stored for so many months, or is this something that's a, you know, as long as you've got a membership, it exists, or we get a download an MP3 or something. I'm also just filling time until somebody else has something to contribute or has a question or something like that. I'm good at filling time if anybody hasn't noticed, but just chime in at any moment and say what's on your mind. Otherwise, we've got another 13 minutes till we officially hit the end of the 2 hours of this. I mean, if we wanted to go on, we can, but if we want to cut it short, that's an option too. It's just kind of what everybody wants to do, and it's great just to be able to get everybody together once a month, just to kind of, you know, then you've got an entire month too to think about, well, what questions do I have and what would I like to ask? Or I really enjoy the when somebody says, I'm working on something or I'm thinking about doing something, what do you guys think? And then when they come back a couple months later and they say, remember when I asked you about what you guys think about that, whatever, I ended up going this direction and here's how it worked out or didn't work out, or here's the challenges I'm currently going through, because that's part of everybody here. We're all trying to learn together and distill the best information we can from each other. And, you know, when people have resources they can pull from, I mean, we're just a vast amount of knowledge that we can share with each other and contribute, as we're all on the same journey.
One suggestion, and I don't know what the group thinks, but if anyone wants to interview somebody next month to kind of guide the conversation, feel free to elect somebody to be interviewed. If we do that ahead of time, we can all kind of gather some questions around it. So that's what we did for the real estate meetup last month, and I think it went pretty well. And just an idea that we're throwing out there. Virtually, I think it works really well because no one's like so boxy about it.
Yeah. Or is there a way to share in like a I assume there's a way to share in like a presentation mode if somebody, because like when yep. we did the points one or the frugal vacations or that kind of thing, I know Amanda and I spent a bunch of time trying to put a bunch of links together and all stuff, or even the last one we did with the investing, we just kind of had a format we kind of followed on a topic for the most part that has kind of kept it going forward versus this just kind of, and we always had time just to talk about whatever's in everybody's mind, but then it seemed to have more of a flow to it and not a lot of like, what can Ryan yep. fill the time with? So,
yeah, so we can definitely share, I can share a screen or anyone can share a screen if they want to. So if we can put together an agenda and kind of keep pace against it in a virtual okay. format, maybe better than in person. Something to consider. Yeah. But I've got a huge network, guys, so I'm happy to leverage anything inside of my network, ask the questions, get people on the phone. So I'm everyone has a network, right? But if there's anything specific that you don't know how to connect with, let's reach out via the Facebook group, and we'll get someone on the phone for it.
Definitely. Does anybody have any topics you'd like to cover next month or any thoughts? Or, I mean, we could always just leave that for on Facebook too, if you wanted to throw out some ideas on what to talk about, or we can call it early, whatever everybody wants to do. Is there a vote option on this thing? Like, can we all like, out of these four options, what would you guys like to do? Or like thumbs up, thumbs down kind of stuff. It'd be cool if it had that feature. Okay.
I'd be really interested in somebody doing a case study. I know we're going to maybe do that this time, but I think that probably got shelved due to the whole thing. So,
yeah. Well, I know Darson was going to do it last. He was going to do it this month before it would turn into a virtual thing. I mean, that's something if Darson wanted to do it again, if we wanted to go the case study route, I mean, Darson, I'm sure he'd still be willing to share his journey and stuff like that. And I mean, like he was talking about, just recently got laid off. So, I don't want to say the story becomes more interesting, but I mean, the story becomes more interesting because it's different adversities he's dealing with. And it's just the whole, you know, where do you go from here? You think you have a plan and then the plan changes. And how do you adapt to that? And it's kind of like the main foundation of Stoicism. It's how you react to the things around you that really matters. It's not
it's not what's happening. It's how you interpret what's happening that really matters. So this could be the greatest thing or it could be the worst thing. I mean, but it's just, it's your choice on whether or not you want to see it as good or bad, or the opportunity, the obstacle in the way.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Jared. I think we should revisit that, whether it's with Darson or someone else, if anyone wants to volunteer, that'd be cool. I'll reach out to Darson after this, or Ryan, if you want to, feel free.
Okay, awesome.
I think, guessing Darson would be open. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to ask, have we ever invited a financial advisor that is strictly fee-based? And I mean, like, per hour fee-based, not even, you know, they're not even paid on assets. It's just, you know, for $250 an hour, I will advise, you know, look at your situation and advise you. Or, I mean, is that something that people are interested in? Oftentimes I just wonder who is those type of gurus that, that are nearby here in the metro. They don't, you know, they're not comped on anything that they sell. It's just strictly their time is how they're comped. And so in my opinion, that they're going to be completely neutral on what they would recommend or how they would steer people. First of all, I'd wonder, is that something people are interested in? And then secondly, is that anything we've ever had happen at one of our meetings? Or does that make sense for what we're doing, I guess?
I think it does. Sorry, my daughter's talking. But I think it does make sense to do if everyone else is open to it. There's something to be learned from anyone. Even if we have to pay him, I'd be cool with that, to hear his opinion and pick his brain as a group. If you guys know anyone that would be interested in that.
Oh, my point wasn't so much I was looking for someone that would want to be comped. It was, I was just looking at their fee structure and how that would, they would operate their advice. It would be based on, yeah. To me, anyone like that would be, there would be value for them to come to the group at no charge, because out of that, assuming people felt comfortable with them, they may reach out to them on their own and say, yeah, I'd like you to look at my family's finances and give me some advice. But I don't know, maybe most people in the group feel like they're more to do, or they want to do things themselves. So it's maybe it isn't that. Yeah, I guess the less smart I feel. So I'm like, yeah, maybe something like that might not be a bad deal.
No, I personally think it's a great idea, whether it's the financial advisor from fee-based or just general life coaches across the board. I mean, there's value inside of all types of coaching. So it'd be cool to kind of get a handful of folks that are in that space chatting and not necessarily selling their product, but answering questions in a group setting. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think, we've got a vast age group too, and I think it'd be different. We hear from different perspectives, but I think then you can also check your biases and blind spots, because, you know, there's a lot of things you think you know, and then also when you ask the question, you're like, well, wait a second, I guess I never took that into consideration. So it's good, even if you made your own stuff, just to be able to check and make sure that you're on the right path, or at least, you know, somebody that's supposed to be very knowledgeable in this says, yeah, you're not crazy. No, that's not a crazy idea. But yeah, you'll have to see if anybody can come up with someone in the area that would fit that profile and not turn out to, like, Mitch, not to put you on the spot, but the one that you had the one time, that did not go well.
Correct. But, I agree with that.
But yeah, we all kind of tore that person apart.
It was perfect. I no longer use an endorsement of any sort.
Yeah, but that was great too, that we all got a chance to be like, yeah, wait a second. So we all kind of spotted something, didn't it seemed very fishy and very salesman-like. But yeah, there's got to be someone out there that doesn't have that persona that we can all, yeah. And like you were saying, you know, if you really like that person and you feel comfortable with them and think they're knowledgeable enough, then they're going to gain a client out of it. So I don't know. I mean, it's, if they want to come on for a few minutes, I would hope they would do it for a very small fee, if any fee at all, just because it's sure cheaper than an advertisement. Somebody's starting to talk, I think.
It looks like it was Rachel, but then she didn't. I didn't hear her come through.
Okay. Well, does anybody have any last closing comments, thoughts, or anything like that? I mean, we could probably. I mean, it's 4 minutes to eight.
Dave had.
We could kind of call it so we don't. Oh, we got a question. Okay.
Dave asked if anyone's done an investing policy statement. I'm not sure what that is, so I'm going to say I have not.
Awesome. I've heard of it. Basically, it's just to when you kind of got a cool head and things are going smooth, you write out what your policy for investment's going to be. And then when things kind of tank or divert, you can always kind of read back to that statement and then say, does this match what I thought? You know, when things were good, I need to stay the course, or, you know, basically that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know in the active investor, I used to be part of an active investment group. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. But that was something that was really big in there. They would talk about creating your rules and then making sure you follow your rules. And then that was one of the things they always circled back to, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy some Apple stock. And it's like, okay, well, did you check to make sure it follows all of your rules? Well, yeah, it follows 9 out of the 10. It's like, well, what about the 10th one? Well, I kind of, it's like, well, if you wrote the rules at one time, then are you sure you, it just kind of, it brought you back and balanced, it centered you so that you wouldn't start like drifting off because of some type of change. So I'm aware of that in the active investor part, but yeah, that does kind of make sense. Kind of an investment philosophy statement. And then here is what I believe now. And then when it changes, then you're like, well, but yeah, but I believe that 3 months ago. Yes, now I'm like scared, but that's what I believed 3 months ago. So why did it change other than my interpretation of the situation?
I have a very strict investing protocol set up for properties. I'd be happy to share that with the group at any point. It was last updated. Cool. October of last year, so probably need some updating between now and when I share it. But yeah, I definitely happy to share that.
I'd give you a thumbs up, but I can't find the thumbs up button. Feels like there should be like a cling.
It's right here, buddy. There's
there you go. Up. I would like to see it.
So one of the cool things we did, I don't know, probably over a year ago, for our business was we created an LLC. Entity stock account with TD Ameritrade. And so up until about February, we really, but then that account was there during the market crash, and we really been using that to load up on stocks. And so we don't follow a lot of fast-paced rules, but one of the ones we put in place was that it really needs, anything we buy really needs to pay, just because we like the cash flow and being able to use that for the business. And it just so happens we're in that what's a traditionally a slow period for tax liens. So that worked out that we were able to use a little bit of our capital that we weren't using anyways and put that into some pretty good investments that are cheaper than they've been in a while.
Sometimes I listen to the podcast called The White Coat Investor, and that's where I hear the investment policy statement a lot.
And I've seen that it's not really a statement, but I've seen a few people post that index card. I think I just saw Nick Brinks, I think he might have posted it recently. It's like an investment card, like the market only does this after this upon a time. It's a reminder somebody keeps in their pocket of it's generalized rules, but it's kind of like, here's how the stock market acts. And whenever you think it's different, grab this out and take a quick look at it. And it should help center you back to like, well, this is how it historically goes. So just, you know, hang in there. But 8:01 now, anybody else have any last minute things or anything else they'd want to share, or if anybody has any things they think of after this, we could just go ahead and just start a Choose by Des Moines. Just start a comment on things like if you wanted to add anything, or, oh, whoops, I forgot I wanted to ask a question. Go ahead and throw it in there. And I'm guessing the way this is going, we could probably even just do this next month. And then who knows, maybe the month after that, depending on how the Corona thing is, we may just choose this as a best format And maybe we could get our takeout from Felix and Oscar's and take it back. And then we could do it this way. So we're still supporting the restaurant, but we're still getting a good chance to record everything. I do like the comments in the side that we're able to just capture all this stuff along with our conversation anyway. But yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah, real quick, do you guys want to try to get some coaches or financial advisors on the line for next month, or do you want to go through investing protocols? What is there any? Just at least shoot an email through the Facebook group, or shoot a message through the Facebook group if you have a preference, and we'll kind of pick whatever the more popular choice is.
But even start one of those surveys on there too. But yeah, if anybody knows any good coaches in the area, whatever the topic may be, if it's something that kind of falls into our fire end of things, it would be interesting just to hear from somebody that's kind of what they do. Awesome.
I'd be cool with virtual too. So I use a virtual trainer, like mindset, nutrition and exercise routine. It sounds crazy, but I was very opposed to it, but it's been really helpful. So might be a,
yeah, I just had this stupid thought, but for some reason this whole time I'm thinking like, well, who do we know in the central Iowa area that we could get for a coach or whatever? And it didn't even occur to me that we could be like halfway across the world and have somebody. But yeah, I feel kind of dumb now that didn't even cross my mind. But no, I mean, yeah, it could be somebody from New York that we all, you know, want to have come on for a half hour or something and give a portion of this, give a talk on something. Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, so we'll put together some topics based on feedback that we get, guys, but really appreciate everyone joining us tonight. A conference will stay open, so if you guys want to hang out, I think Jess and I are going to hit the road, though. So appreciate everyone being on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. This is awesome. Until next, a month from now.
Yeah.
Later.